In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Last weekend, we were having a FaceTime conversation with our older son, Franklin. If you don't know what that is, it means you can actually see the person. It's a wonderful way to be connected with people who are not in the same space. And Franklin had just spent Thanksgiving with his girlfriend's family, and he told us that they had spent some time over that holiday talking about different family Christmas traditions. Every family has at least one unique, special tradition for Christmas, of course. And he was sharing with them about the way we do that. And he told us that he said, we don't really celebrate Christmas in our family. This, from the son of an Episcopal priest. What he meant, or at least what I hope he meant, and I think he made it clear later, was that in our family we observe Advent. And Haley's family goes to church, but it's a non-liturgical tradition. So they don't know about Advent. In our family, we don't decorate the house for Christmas right after Thanksgiving. And we don't start singing Christmas carols right away, as wonderful as they are. We observe Advent by lighting our Advent wreath, which sits on our dining room table, and by putting up the characters day by day on our little kids' Advent calendar, which we've had since the boys were born. The one that 1 year the cat stole baby Jesus out of. And in the years when we set out the really good nativity set that came from my grandmother, it's probably about 70 years old now, we put Mary and Joseph and the donkey way in another room, away from the stable. And the wise men we put in the other direction, even farther away. And we move them slowly each week, closer and closer, until Mary and Joseph arrive on December the 24th, and the wise men in their camels and presents on January 6th, which is Epiphany. We observe Advent by waiting to celebrate Christmas. We try to keep the full-on glory of Christmas for Christmas Eve, or as close to it as we can get. So what Franklin meant, or at least what I hope he meant, was that in our family, we celebrate Christmas to its fullest, but not before its time. What he meant was that in our family, we celebrate Christmas like the Episcopal Church. Today is the first Sunday of Advent, and also the first day of our new liturgical year. We are now in year B, and we'll be hearing from the Gospel of Mark mainly this year. I think that the liturgical season of Advent is one of the great gifts of our tradition that many other Christians don't have or don't observe. This time of year, nearly everyone feels much too busy most of the time, if not frantic. And it also can be a very difficult time for those who are alone or who are experiencing the season for the first time without a loved one who has died or anyone who has had a major loss or finds themselves in mourning. The culture that we live in really jumped right from Halloween into Christmas decorations, carols, gift suggestions, and would seem to suggest that we are supposed to be happy all the time, leaving no room for those who are grieving a loss. The church, in its wisdom, offers us something different and much deeper between Thanksgiving and Christmas. That something is Advent. And Advent is truly countercultural. It's normally 4 weeks long, give or take a few days, including 4 Sundays just prior to Christmas. And in our tradition, as you know, during Advent, we do not sing Christmas carols. That would be jumping ahead. We save them all for Christmas Eve and Christmas Day and the 12 days of Christmas. But we do sing the beautiful hymn, O Come, Emmanuel, each Sunday, and light the Advent wreath each Sunday at the beginning of the liturgy. First one candle, then two, then three, then all to count down the weeks. In Advent, we are called to being more than doing. Being, just being. Advent gives us space and time, if we will take it, even a little of it, to wait and watch. Advent calls us to times of silence and introspection, so hard to get unless you really take that for yourself. Advent invites us into a process of making our hearts more open, waiting for the coming of the Christ child. Advent invites us to recognize our deep longing for God, our deep longing for peace in the world, for justice and reconciliation between people. Advent gives room for those who are sorrowful to mourn and those who are joyful to rejoice. Or sometimes we do both at the same time. As we already sang in several of these hymns, we are rejoicing in Advent in a minor key. And during Advent, we feel, I think, this paradox most strongly, because it is right there in front of us, the paradox that God in Christ has already defeated evil for eternity, and at the same time that here on earth, God's kingdom is not fully manifest anywhere on earth. It is still becoming. So Christ has already triumphed over death, and there is still injustice and violence and cruelty in our world. One way we work with this paradox is to proclaim every Sunday. We remember his death. We proclaim his resurrection. We await his coming in glory. Or, Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. This coming in glory, the second coming of Christ, remains largely a mystery for us. Jesus said, "But about that day or hour, no one knows. Neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come." As you might know, over the centuries there have been many people, many prophecies, claiming to know the timing of the end of the world, the very day and hour sometimes. People who predict the final date over and over, and sometimes stand out on the hillsides to wait for it. and we are still here. Christians have varied understandings of the second coming of Christ. Fundamentalists read this gospel passage we heard today and the whole book of the Revelation of John, which is full of apocalyptic literature. They read that literally. And from this come ideas like the rapture and projections of the future, such as the Left Behind series. Most Episcopalians take a different and more ancient approach to Scripture. We interpret Scripture through the double lens of tradition and reason. And we understand this kind of writing in the Gospels, the apocalyptic writings, as embodying truth in symbol and metaphor. My favorite theologian talking about the coming of Christ and what that could be is the great scientist and mystic Pierre Teilhard de Chardin, who offered his life work to a vision of all creation moving forward to a final point in time and space. The point he calls Omega. And for Teilhard, the Omega point is Christ. He saw all of creation moving slowly, slowly, always forward through the eons of time towards union in Christ. In Teilhard's vision of the cosmos, and in the gospel we heard today, all of us have a part to play. We can cooperate with Christ and God's work and the Holy Spirit on earth, or not. It is our choice. Jesus, in Mark's gospel, asks us to keep alert, to keep awake. Now, unless we want to subsist on caffeine and no doze, it doesn't work to take this literally. But what does it mean? What could it mean for us to be spiritually alert, to be spiritually awake? That is the call of Advent. And one thing we can do to work in this direction is to keep a daily spiritual practice. If you don't have one that is working for you, I invite you to start one this Advent. Start slowly, start small, start simple. You could try keeping 5 minutes of silence each day. Or pray morning or evening prayer. Or simply try to do one thing at a time and give your full attention to whatever you are doing for some time each day, giving up multitasking the way that most of us live our daily lives. That can be a spiritual practice. Take advantage of the gifts of Advent, the waiting, the invitation to get in touch with your deep longing for God. Perhaps by doing so, we can more faithfully live into the paradox of our faith. Perhaps we can become more faithful as we wait and watch.